And what a joy just to be thinking about the Lord and thinking about what He's done. It's great to see everybody. It's good to have Pastor Peter Mosley and his wife here with us from down in Georgia and visiting family. We're certainly glad to have preachers with us in the service, and thank God for them stopping by here at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. Well, I want to preach for a little while and trust that it'll be a blessing to you. I'm looking back in Luke chapter 5. And we're looking at Luke chapter 5. We'll read the first 11 verses as you find your place in Luke chapter 5. I did hear this story about a fellow that had been overseas, and he was coming back to the United States and found out he wasn't feeling very well, went straight to the hospital from the airport. And after all this barrage of tests, expensive, and it was just really, really quite thorough. He woke up, he found himself in a private room, door was shut, and he got a call. The phone rang beside his bed, and he picked it up, and he said, "This is your doctor." And he says, "We've discovered you've got an extremely, extremely contagious virus, and so we've placed you in total isolation." He said, "Okay. We're putting you on a diet of pizza, pancakes, and pita bread." Sounds like a good preacher's sermon right there, the three P's, you know. And the patient, he said, "Well, will that cure me?" He said, "No, I don't think it'll cure you, but it's the only food we can get under the door." So he was really bad. Be careful when your doctor tells you that, I guess. But we're looking at Luke chapter 5. We're going to find out that the first disciples are called to follow Christ. And I want to preach for a little while about launching out and trust that the Lord will do in your heart what He did in my heart as I was studying this week. It came to pass that as the people pressed upon Him to hear the word of God, He stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake. But the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And He entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And He sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, "Launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a draught." And Simon answering said unto him, "Master, we have toiled all night, and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net." When they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their nets brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus saith unto Simon, "Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men." And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. It's an interesting story where Jesus wants to use Peter's boats, and the boats are there, but Peter's the one that Jesus used, and he asked him to push out from the land a little bit. And we're not thinking cruise ships here, we're thinking small ships and small boats, and he says, "Just push it out from the land just a little bit." And the people gathered around that little cove of a place, that little land, and sat there and listened, stood there and listened as Jesus went out on that little ship, and he sat down and he spoke to all of those people. I'm thinking about this, that Peter got to have his boat used by the Lord and got to use something for the Lord's service. I'm thinking about folks that this church that have told me before, and we've often used them. They said, "Well, when the missionary comes, they can stay at our house." And others have let us use cars. When one of our interns here one summer used somebody's car that they had loaned for that summer, and amazingly enough, they got the car back in one piece, didn't they, Brother Richard? Yeah, so... But you've used your houses, used your cars. I'm thinking about Joe Arthur, not this time, but last time he was here, preached a revival. One of the men loaned him his Cadillac. And Joe Arthur, you know how he is. He said, "Man, I'm just riding in style." He's like a kid in a candy store. He said, "That Cadillac just floats down the road." I'm not sure where all he was floating, but he was going. It's good to get people to get something and put it in the Lord's use. But there's going to be a few here, Peter being one of them, that they're not only going to use something, let the Lord use it, I should say, but they're also going to go, in the end of verse 11 where we looked at, they're going to say, as the Bible says, forsook all and follow Him. I'm afraid that we oftentimes fall in that category of people who we like Jesus. We're very fond of Him, certainly thankful that He did what He did for us. were glad in that day. They'd been glad, well, I got to eat when they fed that many people. I'm glad that I got to do that. But there's not many of us in this life that, there are not many people in this life, I should say, that make Jesus such a part of their life that they say, like they said about the disciples, that they forsook all and followed him. Many interested. Many that really, really are fond of Christ, but not so many that want to forsake everything and just say, I'm going to live my whole life for Jesus Christ. I want to preach this passage, trust it's a blessing, because I see that Peter launched out a little bit and then a little bit more, and I trust the Lord to do something in our hearts. I want you to look at verse number 1, and we see the desire of Jesus Christ. It came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, so the desire of Jesus was that people would hear the word of God. What did he want them to hear? He wanted to hear his words, as he told in John chapter 6, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. And he knew that he was and is the Son of God. He had those words that they needed to hear. Jesus desired them to listen up. The desire of Jesus over in 1 Timothy is talked about when he said that who would have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth, as it's talking about and as written to that young preacher boy, Timothy, talking about what God's desire would be, but have all men come to the truth. Well, here the truth was there with them, and the desire of Jesus Christ was that all of those people would get to hear the word of God. In verse number 3, it says, and Jesus, he taught the people out of the ship. I think about people in this church. I think about the McEwans. They're always getting Bibles, and they're buying and getting Bibles out to people. I think about, I was down at the Greens Automotive here, and they had some Bibles there. They were giving them out to people as they'd come as customers. But I think about this. I was looking on Craigslist a while back, and there was some cars for sale, and I found out it was by sale from some of our church members, and they had messages about the Lord and God blessing and just giving thoughts and just little blurbs about looking to the Lord. You see, there's a desire in our hearts, or should be this desire in our hearts, that we would get people to hear the word of God. You say, Pastor, what can I do about all the world? I can't get the world or the word to all the world. You may not be able to, but you can do something for your little part and my little part, and we can get the word of God, because the scripture says that it is what people need to have. We see the desire of Jesus is that the people would hear the word. And so here he is. He gets on that ship and goes out just a little bit so the whole crowd can hear. The difference is not, there's no difference today. Jesus' desire is still that the word be preached in every church, in every person, in every interaction that we have, whether it's a gospel tract and we take this gospel tract and give it to a coworker, or whether it's we get him to come and visit us at church, whatever it is, we understand that the desire of the Lord is to get his word to those people. But we see not only that, but I want you to look down at verse number 5, and we're going to look at the decision of Peter. At the end of the verse, it says, nevertheless, we'll come back to the first part, at thy word I will let down the net. Here's a great opportunity for Peter to take the easy way out, because he tells him, says, Lord, we've been toiling all night. Sir, we've been out there all night. We're professionals at this. We know what we're doing. We understand how to fish. This little bay out here, this little body of water, it's not that big. We've been putting the nets down where they need to be put down. We've toiled all night and we've brought up nothing. But then the decision is made, at thy word, I'll let down the nets. At the great opportunity he has just to take the easy way, because Peter knew, he did know, there are no fish there, not at the level they were fishing for, but he obeyed. Haven't you been somewhere right at the church time and you didn't want to go either, but you said, I'll do it anyway, I'll just go? I read this old story about a note that was found on an old pump in the Nevada desert. It was not a trail that was used very often, and this old pump that when you pumped it didn't do anything, but there was a baking powder can tied to the handle of that old pump, and here's what it said. The can had a paper inside of it. This pump is all right as of June 1932. I put a new sucker washer into it, and it ought to last 5 years. But the washer dries out, and the pump has got to be primed. Under the white rock behind you, I buried a bottle of water out of the sun, cork end up. There's enough water in it to prime the pump, but not if you drink some first. Pour about a fourth of it in and let it soak the leather washer. Then pour in the rest, medium fast, and pump like crazy. You'll get water. The well has never run dry. Have faith. When you get watered up, fill the bottle for the next fella coming through. He read that, whoever had written that, he signed it, but he wrote, have faith. Now, we know what it's like to have faith in somebody or something. Well, that always comes through. I started working at McDonald's when I was 15, so I couldn't drive legally, and so I'd have to wait on my parents, and I would sit there sometimes after I get off work at McDonald's, and I had faith in my dad. But that this illustration doesn't back up what I'm talking about here, because dad forgot me a few times. You got to have faith in the right thing. And Peter, out of a little bit of a decision of faith, said, at thy word, I'll let down the nets. This life that we're on, this journey that we're on, the Bible says in the book of Hebrews, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Sometimes we think it's difficult to please God unless you have this faith. It's not difficult. It's impossible. And so we understand that the decision of Peter is that. It says, nevertheless, even though I know it doesn't make sense, and even though I know there aren't any fish to be gained at the length or the depth we're going to go, but at thy word, I will let down the nets. And so some of us, you're in this room and you say, I've got some things where I had to decide to do it, even though it didn't make good sense. But let me tell you why that decision is so hard. Look back at the beginning of verse number 5. Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and taken nothing. It's hard to do right when you can't see the use of doing it. It's hard for us to convince ourselves that this is a good idea because it doesn't look like there's any sense to it. Every time that I have the opportunity to help somebody when you're talking about some difficulties they're having in their lives, whenever I bring up the subject I'm going to bring up to you, they always look with a look of bewilderment. I said, well, what I want to encourage you is, I want to encourage you to be in church. And you can see the blank look on their face. What does that have to do with what I'm talking about? I need some help in my marriage, or I need help with this, or I need help with that. And sometimes they think it self-serving that I just want people to come hear me preach, although I do prefer to preach to people instead of pewbacks, but that's not why I tell them to do that. There is something that God does a work in your heart when you're obedient to Him, not to me, but obedient to Him, as He says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. And so when I ask them or I recommend to them that this trouble you're having, they say, that's not what I came to talk to you about. I didn't come to talk to you about my church attendance. I didn't come to talk to you about my Bible reading. I came to talk to you about this, and they lay out the problem. But I bring them back to the aspect of we have to be obedient in the things that God has already shown us so that He can do a great work in the life and the things He hasn't shown us yet. And so the reason that Peter would have had to have so much trouble to say, Lord, we're going to let down the nets, if that's what you say, the reason is because he was so smart. He was an expert. Him, James, the other boys, all of them, they were experts. That's what they did for a living. And they said, Lord, we've toiled all night. There ain't no fish to be had. But at thy word, we'll let down thy net. The distress of the toil is what made that decision of Peter hard to be making. One of the most thankless jobs, I'm sure, represented well in this room right here, and that's a mother. You've got a mother that she is the one, if you do everything right, still nobody notices. But she's the one that is awake in the middle of the night, again, after some sickness or some fussiness or whatever. And so she's so tired, she can't see straight. And she, even though she's at the point of exhaustion, and she keeps on keeping on, and she keeps singing, keeps humming, keeps praying, keeps doing what moms do. Because even though the distress is getting her to the point where she can't hardly function, she still wants to obey the Lord and still wants to raise that little one in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So the distress is that Peter says, there's nothing to be had out there, but he makes that great decision. But I got you to look at verse number 6 as we make our way through the passage. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes. They brought the nets in. At thy word, I'll let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned the other partners, the other guys that come in on that other ship where there wasn't anybody on there when Jesus first went up, and he got on Peter's ship. And now they're back on that ship apparently, and they're motioning them on there. They're coming, hey, come on, help us, help us. And they bring all these fish in, and they bring them so much in that both of the ships begin to sink. So I see not only the decision that Peter makes, but the delight of the obedient here, because he's saying that we did what you told us to do. And the delight is, I love this verse. I want to tell what happened in verse number 6. It's verse number 5 that I have trouble with. I don't want to tell that I doubted the Lord, that I didn't want to listen. I want to be that one that delights in that. I want you to think about this. If we're all participants here today, if you're watching at home, you can participate there. If you've ever done something only because it was right, you didn't want to, but afterward you were blessed, if you ever did something only because you were supposed to, not that you wanted to, but afterward you were blessed and you're glad you did, raise your hand. There's a few that are asleep. They didn't raise their hand, but we're going to give it to you. I gave that same test the first service, and I said, Curtis Hudson, an old preacher, he said, oh, I don't mind people sleeping. I personally have taken some of the greatest naps in church that I've ever had in my life. Curtis Hudson says, I don't mind people sleeping. Those people trust me. They're so at ease with me preaching, they just go asleep and let me go. But if you raise your hand, or if you wish you had, you know it's true that sometimes we do what we're supposed to do, even though we don't want to do it, but we do it just because it's an element of faith. Lord, I'm trusting you to do this. I've been to church service before. I didn't want to go. We're always about tired or sick enough not to come. You got a headache bad enough to keep you out of church, and all of us have the. But I've been to a place where I didn't want to go, and this wasn't today. I'm talking about other times when I wasn't the pastor. That I've been sick enough before. I got a headache. I don't want to go. Nobody's going to miss me. I'm not teaching anything. But when I got there, I was extremely glad that I did, because the Lord did a good work in my heart. And that decision of Peter comes into that delight of the obedient. I want you to look down verse number 10, 11. We'll finish it up here in just a moment. But I want you to look at the direction that these people followed. The direction of the affected is that they take off, the Bible says in verse number 10, says, and so was James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus says unto them, unto Simon, fear not. Simon is Peter, you remember. Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. Verse number 11, when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. I think that they thought, if that guy could let us, command us, and instruct us to get fish out of that bay or out of that water there, where we good and well know they weren't going to be no fish caught in those nets. If that guy can do that, I'm done fishing. I believe I like the master fisherman more than I like this life of fishing. The Bible says they forsook all. Who got Peter's boat? I don't know. Who got the nets? Who did all that? I don't know. Maybe the people that were cleaning them up in verse number 2, some of the helpers and things. I don't know. But the direction of the afflicted, or of the affected, the ones that were affected by this work of Jesus Christ there, the direction was they took off and they followed him. I think that there was, in the life of Peter, James, and John, the three that were mentioned here that followed Jesus' example, or followed him in the work, that is, before this incident, there was a ship, there was nets, there was expenses, there was problems, there was responsibilities in between Peter, James, and John and Jesus. What am I going to do with that boat? What am I going to do with those nets? What am I going to do with the money that I've got invested in this equipment? What am I going to do with this? There was something in between Jesus and Peter, Jesus and Peter, and Jesus and John, and Jesus and James. There was something. There was responsibilities. There was a boat. There was nets. There was all of the things that they had to tend to. And the Bible says in verse number 11, they forsook all and followed him. Now, I'm not going with this message where you might think, say, well, Pastor, we can't forsake all and go follow him to be a missionary somewhere. If that's what God would be leading you to do, then you should do nothing else but that. But what I am thinking is, most of us aren't supposed to do that. But what I am saying is that we ought to have this mentality, and we ought to have this desire to follow the Lord, not let anything in between us and him. Amen. These guys were disciples. They weren't called that yet, but they were going to be called disciples. Now, there were again and again and again people who were around Jesus Christ. Every time he broke out food, there was a big crowd. There was 5,000 one time and men, and then there was 4,000 another time. Every time he went and had dinner on the grounds, there was a big crowd that came. And then before you knew it, though, they all went home, and it was back down to about those 12, 11, if you discount Judas. And so those disciples were different than all the other people that gathered around to Jesus from time to time. And that's what I want to share with you this morning. I believe there's lots of folks who are really fond of Christ. I believe our world is full of people who are desirous to give Jesus some elevated position as a teacher or something. But if Scripture holds true with the amount of disciples there were versus how many would come again and again to see Jesus or get healed by him or get fed by him, if that ratio holds true, we realize that today there are a whole lot of folks that are fond of Jesus, like Jesus, have some religion aspects about their life that maybe are dear to them, but there are very few disciples. And I want to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. I want us to think about making the same decisions that these guys did. There is bound to be other people who were on the ship, because look back in verse number 7. Jesus, or the word God says, they beckoned unto their partners which were in the other ship that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so they began to sink. So Peter, James, and John are not the only ones that saw the great work of God that Jesus did on the water that day. There were other people. And they very well said, wow. That's interesting. And the people who were helping them get all those fish in those two boats, so much so that they began to sink, all of those people would have most likely been the ones on the water the night before and saw that there was no fish coming in. And now they see Jesus command them, and they bring all of these fish in. There were lots of people who very likely said, wow, that's quite a fella. But only these three forsook all and followed Christ. And this morning, I want to challenge every one of us to be what is not common, but to be a disciple. That word is used in many people's language. It's in the name of certain churches in our area, disciples. But what it really means is I'm a fervent follower. I'm a Christ follower, and I'm following very closely. A fervent follower of Jesus Christ, fervent about it. You've had people fervent about something they were trying to sell you, correct? Come to your door and you say, but I don't even have a boat. Oh, but if you did, this would be the greatest product for that boat. I said, yeah, I know, but I don't have one. Yeah, but could you listen to my sales pitch in case you ever get one? I said, I'm not getting one. We've heard people that were very fervent about what they were pushing. Well, a disciple is somebody who's a fervent follower of Jesus Christ. It's also somebody that spent a lot of time with him. These disciples, they were the ones, as you watch the stories unfold, as I mentioned, the crowd swells and then the crowd diminishes. But there's a certain crowd that just stays close, and they hear him and they listen. Can you imagine all the teachings? Now, the Bible says if all the works of Jesus Christ were put in books, the world couldn't contain them all. So there's a lot more than what God gave us in the Word of God that Jesus said and taught the disciples. Can you imagine all the wisdom that was just laid down as they would walk and as they would talk and they would have their supper? And the Bible talks about John leaning over there close to him. I'm thinking about those close people that were there. They were disciples. They were fervent followers. And then I have to ask you, I have to ask myself, am I that close follower of Christ? I'm afraid many times we might fit better in the category of the person that came whenever he was having a big event that thousands were coming. Well, I want to get in on that. Who doesn't like a fish sandwich? That's what he was serving that one day. I want to get in on that. It's so interesting to see. I've never seen somebody raised from the dead, but Lazarus is walking around, and so I want to go see the man that did that. Even the leadership, the government, they were wanting to see Christ when they brought him forward to be at his mock trial. They said, "Well, I've wanted to see you." There was curiosity by many people, and there was more than curiosity by some people. There was a care and a concern about Christ, and they took the opportunity to go be around him, but then they would leave again. There wouldn't be that people. There was a few disciples that just stayed, Peter, James, and John being three of them, and they were those fervent followers of Jesus Christ. And my point in saying these things today is it's wonderful to have Christians all around the world, but I want to be a part of that fervent follower group. I want to be that one that stays close to the Lord. You say, how would I be so close to the Lord that I would get to hear from him? I'm glad you ask. It's the book that you're holding in your lap. He's done speaking for this age that we're in. He's not going to come out of, he will come down from heaven, but he's not going to speak audibly necessarily to you this morning. But here are his words. So if I'm a fervent follower, I'm going to get in there. If I'm a fervent follower, I'm going to spend time with him and speak to him and pray. I want to be that disciple. And I believe that with all that's going on in our world, that there's a group of people right here that you desire the same thing. I don't want to be a casual follower of Christ. I don't want to be a whimsical on again, off again, when it's convenient. I don't want to just have some Christian symbols on some kind of jewelry that indicates that I give credence to that. I don't want to just do that. I don't even want to just come to services once in a while where people gather together. I want to really follow Christ. And I trust that you do as well. I want to be that one, as I mentioned, that Peter, James, and John, they had something in between them and Jesus. That was the boat, that was the nets, all that stuff. I believe that sometimes we let stuff get in between us and Jesus. If I were a follower, a fervent follower, if I forsook all and followed him, then it wouldn't bother me all the things that are in this world. I wouldn't let any of those keep me from having that closeness, that intimacy with the Lord Jesus Christ. I would not let those things be a wedge between he and me. I would instead say, Lord, I love you above all of these things. And so I'm asking this morning, if you wouldn't have the delight of the obedient when they said they forsook all and they followed him, but the delight that they had was just this abundance of all these fish. And Jesus looked at them and says, you think this is something? This is nothing. From henceforth, you're going to catch men. Something greater than the fish that you're pulling in out of the water today. You're going to catch men. You're going to bring many to me. And I want to be that. Now, Peter started off at the beginning as I close. He started off at the beginning, toiled all night. The ships were right there a little bit off the land. And Jesus got on his boat and he said, launch out just a little bit. And Peter launched out just a little bit, just like he did, like he said. And Jesus sat there and taught the people. And then, after that discourse was over, then Jesus said, put your nets down. Ain't no sense in putting the nets down here. Ain't going to work. We've been trying it all night. We're professionals at this. And I have no doubt that they knew what they were talking about. But the problem was somebody greater than any of those fishermen stepped on the scene and they said, let your nets down. At thy word, I will. And so they pulled in so many, they couldn't carry them all. The nets break, and they filled up both those fish to where they began to sink. He launched out just a little bit to serve Christ there, to give him his boat. And then by the time this whole story is over, he's launching out to a great degree, forget the boat. At first, it probably was not certain whether he would even allow this fellow, this stranger, to get on my boat. But he launched out just a little bit. And then after the end of the story, God tells him to launch out completely, and they all three went into the service of Jesus Christ. Now this morning, I would love it if all of us in this room would just do a little soul searching. Am I that fervent follower of Jesus Christ? Or am I the casual observer? Am I the one that really is all in? That's what we say now, I'm all in. Or am I that one that holds back? I want to be a Christ follower. I want to be a dedicated, fervent Christ follower. And I trust that you do as well. Would you bow your heads together with me? Father, thank you for the chance to be in your house. Lord, you've allowed us to get up, get out, get over here, and you've allowed us to get together. Lord, it's been a blessing to be singing. It's been a blessing to hear the choir, but now it's been a blessing to look in the Word and see this lesson that we learn from Scripture. Lord, that there's nothing on this earth that's worth, that's valuable enough to let it keep us from following you. Lord, I pray that we would one more time get used to holding things loosely. I pray, dear Lord, that we would become fervent followers of yours, Christ followers, disciples, discipleship. Lord, help us to be these dedicated followers of you all this week. Be close to you, be listening to you, be looking for you, and we'll thank you for it. If you're able to, would you stand together as the ladies begin to play? If God spoke to your heart, I invite you to come. How about it, Christian brother, Christian sister? Maybe you've just been nominal in your Christian life. Oh yeah, I'm thankful for everything. I'm thankful that I'm going to heaven. But you've not been fervent in that Christian walk. Not a disciple. My friend, it's time for us to get busy. It's time for us to take it serious. It's time for us to forsake all and follow Him. It's time for us to be a true Christian businessman. Time for us to be a true Christian teacher, worker, employee, employer, owner, whatever it is we are. A fervent follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not ho-hum, but fervent. As they play and God's dealing with your heart, would you come? Maybe you make an altar out of your seat right there and just say, Lord, I want to do what Pastor said. I want to follow you fervently. I don't want to be one of the crowds that come and go and come and go and come and go. I want to be one that sticks close. As they continue to play, perhaps you're here and you say, Brother John, I'm not even, I do know about Christ and I certainly to some degree maybe even love Him, I like Him, but I don't know for sure that I'm on my way to heaven. You know, that's the first step of being a follower of Christ, is accepting Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. You say, Brother John, I'm not even sure that I'm saved. Brother Daniel's right here in front of the pulpit I preach from. Would you slip out and come and let Him take a Bible and show you how you can be sure heaven's your home, that Jesus is your personal Savior, your sins are forgiven. As they play a little while longer, God speak your heart, you come. Maybe there's somebody else, you need to be baptized. You are saved, you know the Lord, but you've never followed Him in baptism. Baptism doesn't get you more saved. Baptism doesn't get you further on your way to heaven. It just makes you obedient. Maybe you need to join Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. There's a wonderful family that joined the first service this morning. Maybe you'd like to join them as they join the church. You'd like to come present yourself for that. We'll have them play one more verse and God's speaking, you move. Amen. Thank you. May look this way. Well, it's been a joy to be in church this morning. Thank you so much for joining us. Amen. I'll be back in the lobby. If we can help you in any way, please feel free to stop by. If you are a guest today, please take that Connect card that's there and take it by guest services. And there'll be a couple back there that just have a gift for you for being our guest. And we'll get a letter out to you this week thanking you. I invite you back tonight, 6:30. I'm going to be preaching from, Lord willing, 2 Peter 1, verses 5 to 11. It's a great passage. And I'm excited about preaching it, verse 5 to 11 in 2 Peter 1, as we've been starting in that. And I trust that if you're not able to be here, that you'll watch it online, will join us that way. We're looking forward to a great, great time tonight. So thank you again for being here. Well, Brother Moses, I didn't ask you, but you mind coming up and praying for us? I just got to meet this brother. He pastors down in Valdosta, Georgia, and his wife's got some family up in Bristol, but it's a joy just to get to meet him. And I'm going to ask him to pray. That'll give me a chance to slip back there to the lobby. Thank you, brother, for being with us today. It's our joy to have you.
Let's pray. Lord, we do thank you for this day that you've given us, Lord. We thank you for the opportunity to come and worship you this morning, Lord. We thank you for the message that we heard, Lord. I pray that you'd help us all to step out, Lord, and to launch out into the deep, Lord, even if we don't see what's going to happen, Lord. I pray that you would just bless us for our effort, Lord. We thank you for all that you do. Pray that you'd bless us all as we go our separate ways and keep us safe and bring us back safely tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.